This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, January the 14th, and we are just 5 days away from crowning a champion in college football. It's been an incredible college football season to this point. Some surprises, some unknowns, and tonight we have a very special show because two of our very own from Sportscaster.com joined the program. They are friends of the show, and they are friends in real life. And they have more than a rooting interest in the outcome of this ball game. I want to welcome in Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University and Carter Lutz from the University of Miami. Fellas, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to host such an important game and have, you know, such a nice, friendly conversation with my good friend here today. I'm excited about it.
Let's see how friendly it stays. And I'm happy that Miami gets, you know, every advantage that they can get because they're going to need every advantage that they can get when you play.
They're the big bad Indiana Hoosiers. Everyone knows about the Indiana Hoosiers football team from back in the day. Oh, wait. They don't have
it. Hold on, boys. We're going to get into all of it. But for the listeners that may not know, first of all, we'll start with you, Coop. Where are you from and how did you end up at IU?
From Birmingham, Michigan, suburb of Detroit, attended Groves High School alongside my good buddy, but now enemy, Carter Lutz. Now a senior here at Indiana University, majoring in sports media. Knew them more for their basketball and being such a big Pistons fan. Of course, Isaiah Thomas winning a ring here and doing all he did under legendary coach Bobby Knight. But honestly, never expected, you know, not sort of speak, have this much fun. I knew I was going to have a lot of fun, but not this much fun with football. We were never a football school, and it's been really amazing and magical to see firsthand and experience it here on campus, especially as a senior in my last dance.
Yeah, incredible. Carter?
Yeah, alongside Cooper, we did a lot of broadcasting stuff together in high school, grew up in the same area, almost the same street, to be exact. And, you know, for us both wanted to go to school, be broadcasters. And I've been calling games since freshman year. We got a Final Four in basketball freshman year. And now we're in the national championship senior year. Not many people can say that, but it don't mean a thing without the ring. So we're locked in for, we're locked in for Monday night.
That was cool. That was cool. That's the only time he's going to get on the show.
Yeah, well done. Could you have imagined? I mean, think about it. So you guys have been buddies for how long? Like how many years would you say you guys have been friends?
Kindergarten, maybe
out of the womb. I don't even. Yeah, sure. We could call it Miss Risk's kindergarten class. We'll chalk it up to at least 15 years.
Okay, so that's incredible. I mean, like obviously, it's unique in that you guys have both gone on to pursue, you know, your broadcasting careers at two great schools, and that now we're going to be meeting for national championship. Like, not many people would have predicted this even at the beginning of this season. So what has this journey been like? Like how much have you guys been kind of looking at maybe when the bracket came out that this in a perfect world could collide because now your worlds as best buddies are colliding?
Well, from my perspective, my friend's perspective, we knew Miami was hosting the national championship. So for senior year, the dream is to host the national championship, win the whole thing. But throughout the season, my brother actually goes to Indiana as well. Cooper, my best friend, a lot of other great friends there. I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm paying attention to this team and thinking, oh, they might come down here and visit us. And then when the bracket comes out, I see them on opposite sides. And, you know, every game you're just thinking, could this really happen? Could this really happen? Because it is the ultimate clash. And here we are Monday evening. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I went down earlier this semester to visit Carter, and we actually got to go to the UMiami-Florida game. UMiami won. Obviously, I was hype at the time. And I don't know if I'm just a bad guy or a villain, but with my close friends and at their schools, I never want to see them winning. And so before I get into the smack talk, I will say one thing. Up to this point, I have really liked the Miami Hurricanes. I've liked what they're all about. I love how strong they are on defense. Not as strong as us, but they have been a fun team. And I think that what makes this so magical, aside from us being best friends, us having, you know, the chance and opportunity to play each other in a national championship, was that as big of a Cinderella story as Indiana is, Miami was, you know, inches, centimeters, millimeters away from not making the college football playoff. And now they're on this historical run. So for all of these things to go right, and we get to face each other and match up against one another in, you know, Hard Rock Stadium, Coral Gables, Florida, I think is just so awesome. So it's always been on our minds, but now that it's here, it's pretty surreal.
And it's the senior year of college too. You couldn't draw it up any better.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, I think about it. You know, I remember when I was, you know, a senior in college too. You know, it's like, as a fan, this might be, I don't know if it'd be the peak of your fandom, but like when you're there, when you're in school, when your team's in it, in your senior year, you have all the memories to go with it. It is incredible. You guys will remember this for the rest of your lives. I guess my concern is, you know, you guys host a podcast together. You guys are best buddies. You guys get together every time you come home on break. Are you worried at all? Should we be worried that the outcome of a college football game could potentially divide the Cooper and Carter show?
I would be absolutely frightened. You know, he's not going to hear the end of it from me, and I'd expect the same from him. We're probably not going to be friends after this game. So honestly, it was a good, you know, fit, whatever we called in the beginning, 15-year, 21-year run as friends. Yeah. It was magical. It was fun. It's coming to an end on January 19th, whoever the winner may be, whoever the loser may be. No, in all seriousness, it just makes it that much more fun. High risk, high reward. Obviously, your team playing with everything on the line. But for us, I think it just means a little bit more. Friendship will stay intact, hopefully. But above all else, just unbelievable that it is our two teams in our senior year as best friends playing each other.
Carter Lutz from the University of Miami and Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University. And although you may not be able to see them right now, they're both clad in their school's respective colors. Carter with a Miami flag draped over his shoulders, looking good. And Cooper looking good with the IU threads, per usual. Just to recap, these guys have been best buddies since going way back, going back to kindergarten class. And now their respective schools will be facing off on Monday night for the national championship down in Miami, Florida. So, all right, fellas, when we get into the game itself, is it fair to say that it's not just a Cinderella story based on what Indiana has done? Because if you look at what Indiana accomplished last year, you could almost see the writing on the wall that they would be in position to maybe make a run. Is there a bit of a Cinderella tale to Miami because of the fact that, as Cooper mentioned in the earlier segment, you guys almost didn't make the college football playoff, right? With two losses going in, you know, maybe Notre Dame could have gotten in. You know, you guys might have been on the outside looking in, playing in another bowl and watching the college football playoff unfold. Do you feel like either side is playing up the fact that this is, as we as sports fans like to say, a Cinderella type story?
I think Miami, there's definitely a vibe around the school, a vibe around the fans and everything that this is a Cinderella run. Not only because they almost got in and, you know, didn't think they were even going to get in, but the fact that they've won these games and how they've won these games and just being underdogs against Ohio State by 10 points, pretty big underdog against A&M as well. You do get that vibe and you do get that feeling when it comes to Miami.
Cool.
Yeah, I think kind of going back to what I said earlier, I think it's a Cinderella story for both sides. And that's what makes this whole thing so special. I mean, Miami barely got in, and Indiana for, you know, 138 now, last 2 years, 136 years of existence, aside from the 1960s Rose Bowl bid and doing whatever there, we have not been a football program. And so for us to, on this squad, have no 5 stars and 7 4-stars, and us to make it to where we are and to beat Oregon 56-22 and to dismantle, you know, such a blue blood in Alabama in the Rose Bowl, which I was at, which was amazing to see. I think that's what makes this matchup so special. Miami almost didn't have a chance, and Indiana has been counted out, you know, their entire history of the program. Right. So I think that's what makes it so special.
And it's two like big brands. So for Indiana, they've never been in a national championship. Obviously everyone's bought it now, but Miami, they're known as a historic program, but the last 23 years have been brutal and they've been waiting for a season like this. Now that they have it, everyone's clinging on to it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a ton of credit goes to both the coaching staffs, Mario Cristobal at Miami. He's well thought of, well regarded in the college football ranks. And then with Coach Sig, Kurt Cignetti, you know, as people start to learn his story, I almost feel like at first they thought there was this arrogant, brash, you know, who's this guy coming from James Madison and can he do it again? And he's done it again. And I look at it from a standpoint of when I look at like Coach Sig's story, you know, he spent the 1 year as an assistant under Nick Saban. And then when he got an opportunity to become a head coach, you know, like IUPUI or whatever. And then, you know, it wasn't at these major level programs. He's like deeper into his life, like into his coaching life, and to be able to have this opportunity in front of him. I think it's just a great story for any of us that are like chasing our dream. It's like, well, when's it going to happen for me? Or when's it going to happen? He said he always knew in his bones he wanted to be a head coach and to be a long time, you know, an assistant. You know, at some point he had to go out on his own and he started at smaller schools and now has turned around, to your point, Coop, the losingest program in college football history. It's unbelievable. And he's a walking soundbite. He obviously has all the confidence in the world. He micromanages everything. And I just look at their story and I say, okay, as people learn more about IU, there's a lot of talk about, well, they dominated the transfer portal. They brought all these guys in. They're an older team, right? By age, like average age, somewhere around like 23. What do you make of like people that are starting to pick away? I don't know, say chip away at the mystique of what made Indiana, Indiana, when they say a lot of these guys, you know, are upperclassmen and they're just this conglomerate of guys they brought in the transfer portal and it can't last.
At the end of the day, football is a team sport. And so the coach has to be able to play with the players and the players have to go along with the coach. And that's why I think we are so good, where you got Kirk Cignetti, who has just been bouncing around from Pitt to NC State to Alabama to IUP, you know, to Elon to James Madison. And now he's here and he's coaching these guys that either stayed at Indiana, which was, you know, didn't have much of a reputation beforehand, or he took his boys from JMU and now they're doing something special. And a lot of these guys were low stars or no stars.
Yeah.
Right, right. They weren't thought of as the biggest or the best, but they are out there to prove, you know, something not only to themselves, but to the world and put everybody on notice to show how good they are, how good they can be. And it doesn't matter how big of a name you are coming out of high school. It's what you do with the opportunities you are given. So I think Cignetti is able just to get his guys on the same playing field. Everybody has the same vision in mind. Like, let's go prove something to everybody else. We don't have to prove something to ourselves because we know how good we are, but you don't have to be, you know, sought after, go to a big time high school. Like, you can work your way from the ground up and bring yourself to glory. I think that's what makes this Indiana squad so special. When you have guys like Aiden Fisher and Isaiah Jones and Elijah Surratt that were next to nothing, our Heisman quarterback was a very, very low recruit and then ends up going to Cal and hits the transfer portal like so many do and is now the Heisman winning quarterback. I think this team is just so special in the way that everybody complements each other so perfectly, it seems like. But if there's one thing to know about this squad, it's having a chip on your shoulder is definitely the driving force. And it's what makes this team so special. You get fired up.
And what about Miami, Carter? When you look at like Carson Beck, like your starting quarterback, you know, how old is he right now? He's like 20.
Yeah, he's 23, 24 maybe.
He's older. And I know he's like older, upperclassman, obviously he's, you know, I'd come from Georgia and listening to Cristobal always talking about go 1-0. You know, we're just got to go 1-0 this week, 1-0 this week. He feels like his message has been driven home too, as far as, you know, the player belief. Obviously, their defense, I think, is what a lot of people love about them. But you saw the poise at the quarterback position, which has gotten them to win some of these upset wins. I think you would say the A&M and the Ohio State game. How well do you feel like he fits the brand, obviously being a Miami guy, how much he fits what that university needs right now?
Oh, he's everything. And the main reason why they're here right now, clear and simple, because when it comes to University of Miami football, it's about the history right now. It's about the team of the 80s. They won a championship in the 90s, as well in the 2000s. This early 2000s, though, and this program has kind of forgot what it's like to be a dominant team, to be that team in college football, which they were. Back in the day. And for Cristobal to come in and bring what I think is so important and what I like to think about when it comes to this game is championship DNA. And that is what Miami has right now. In the past couple of seasons, what Miami has done, and really in the past 15 years, is they have the talent, they look good, the leadership stalls out, and the team stalls out, hits a bump in the road, and they don't come back. What this team did differently is they have the right leadership in place, they have the experience. And not only that, but when they hit that bump in the road, they kept going and they kept fighting and they were able to come back, finish the season really strong. They gave them a chance and they've shown what they can do. So this team just kind of embodies everything that's been wrong with Miami the last 20 years and how they're just pushing all the rest of that stuff away. And as you said, Mario Cristobal, he won championships with Miami. He knows what it's like. Jimmy Johnson was his head coach. And for him, this is his life goal. This is what he thinks he's been put on this planet to do, and that's coach the Miami Hurricanes and bring a championship back to Miami.
Obviously, the game being played in Miami adds a different dynamic to it. We have seen how well Indiana travels. They've got like the largest alumni base, you know, in the continental U.S. And I've seen a national championship game down there at Hard Rock Stadium, Ohio State, Alabama. Didn't go in favor of the Buckeyes that day. But anyway, incredible stadium. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. We'll get into that if there is a home field advantage. And then also, we've heard a little bit of talk about who might play a Kurt Cignetti or a Fernando Mendoza in a movie. Think about this before we go to break. Some of the greatest movies in history, sports movies, you think of like Rudy, based in South Bend, Indiana. Think of Hoosiers, based on the Milan High School team from 1954. Indiana just seems to have what it takes when it comes to making these movies that you're like, that can't be real, but it is real, and it's happening right now. Carter Lutz, Cooper Schoenberg on to help us break down the college football national championship. I do want to clarify, I mentioned Carson Beck might be a little older than what he was, starting quarterback at Miami. He's 23 years old. Carter, he's only a couple months older than Fernando Mendoza.
Let's not blow things out of proportion here. Let's get our facts right.
That's right. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. So here we go. Championship game coming up on Monday. First of all, we'll start with you, Carter. You had an opportunity to call the national semifinal for your school. What was it like?
Yes, I did. In Arizona. It was absolutely tremendous. And it was a little bit of a weird vibe because Miami didn't expect to be there, but they were favorites. And so a lot of unknown going into the game. You didn't really know what to expect, but it was just absolutely tremendous and super, super blessed to have the call for student radio. As I said, I set the bar pretty high for my future. So see how I can break that. But yeah, it was amazing.
No, it's a great opportunity. I mean, honestly, it's a great opportunity for you. So kudos on that. And Coop, you were at, which game were you at?
I was at the Rose Bowl, which was magical in itself. A lot of fun getting to watch an absolute dismantle of Alabama, such an overrated team. And then I was right across the street at Kilroy's, indulging in some good beverages and having a lot of fun with my friends and really the whole school. I remember we got back. And there were fireworks going off in the street that we could see from our balcony here at our house. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, incredible. Of course, Kilroy's is a staple there in Bloomington, Indiana. I've never been on Miami's campus, actually, but I think I applied there way back in the day. But you guys are living right now. There was some talk, and I'm just curious about this. So if they ever were to make a movie about the turnaround of Indiana football, right? Go from the losingest program in college football history. Last year, they made the college football playoff. This year, they're 15-0, unbeaten heading in. They will be the favorites heading into the championship game. I believe Kurt Cignetti was asked after one of the games about who might star him in a movie. You know, he said it'd be a hell of a movie, I guess. Is there anybody that comes to mind as far as who you think might star Kurt Cignetti in a film?
Yeah, I could, you know, trying to be modest and humble, I could definitely see like a Christian Bale or like a Leonardo DiCaprio playing him. as for Fernando, you know, it could be a toss up between like a Glenn Powell. I know he's got that Chad Powers thing going on, right? Maybe Austin Butler. But again, just, you know, in my humble opinion, because at the end of the day, these guys are already superstars. So why can't a movie star not play them?
There you go.
I was thinking your boy Tom Holland could play Mendoza. I feel like I could see that.
Yeah, he could do that. I mean, I'm a short king myself.
You can maybe play him.
I don't know if he's tall enough to play a 6'5", 225 absolute stud in a moose of a Heisman quarterback. So we can give it to Glenn Powell. But Tom can get, you know, second or third dibs at it. He can be the understudy.
So you guys, neither one of you will be on site on Monday night, correct?
I might go tailgate outside the stadium.
Okay. Will you guys be in contact on Monday night throughout the game? What does that look like?
I think we should maybe like set the rules right now. Like, should there be a 24-hour ban? Should we like have a phone call before? I don't know how to approach Johnny. Maybe you can be the mediator.
I'll be the mediator. Maybe I think there's a 24-hour window. I think you watch it on your own and then you kind of let things settle. And then maybe the next day, at some point on Tuesday, maybe it's a congratulatory text. I don't know. I mean, I don't know your friendship like you guys do. So
the issue with that is that one, we have group chats with other kids and Obviously, okay, whoever's winning is going to have to send videos and whatnot. And number two is Cooper already said the game is over. So if he already said the game is over and we win, I'm hopping on his throat. So there's no 24-hour rule. I think we just got to go right into it.
Yeah. Wow. Anyways, I don't know. Almost like a Yom Kippur type festivity. Yeah. Maybe when the sun sets, stop texting. And then when it sets again the next day, then we can start texting. There we'll see. There might need to be a little bit of a hiatus, a little break, but you know, only time will tell.
All right. So real thoughts, because I know what it's like when you're rooting for your favorite team. And I know you guys are huge Detroit sports fans, and you know, it's different, like the Tigers being in the playoffs or the Lions in the playoffs or the Pistons in the playoffs, whatever, the Wings, hopefully this year. But when it is your team, what would you say? Would you say is your level of confidence? How much of it is like a reservation of, like, let's say for you, Coop, you're 15-0. We're talking about making a movie about Indiana. If they go and get beat, now all of a sudden it's like, hey, it's a feel-good story. And then Miami's national champs is like, do you almost have to win this national championship in order to feel good about what Indiana football has done?
You do.
If he doesn't, he's done for. Because we're making movies about Big Ten championships right now. I don't know. That's kind of crazy.
All right. Shut your ginger mouth. No, you do. Because I forgot what he said that I actually did give him a compliment on. It was, you know, no ring, no thing, whatever it was. But it's the cherry on top. You need it to make the movie, to have the Cinderella story complete. If we don't win, it would definitely be heartbreaking. Now, you asked about my confidence level. The confidence is through the roof. It's a 10 out of 10. We absolutely murdered Alabama, and we absolutely dismantled the Oregon Ducks. We went duck hunting, all right? And we broke that O over our thigh like a Bo Jackson baseball bat. Now, looking on to Miami, they really don't have much. I mean, Carson Beck is a bona fide scrub. Mario Cristobal is a subpar coach at that compared to a Kirk Cinetti. And our defense is just filled with a bunch of dogs. And Akeem Mezidor, you know, Jacoby, what is it? What's the last name?
Thomas.
See, I don't even know, so I don't really care that much. They're good players. They're good players. But when you get a D'Angelo Pons, a Miami native himself of Chaminade, a prestigious high school, playing against these quacks of Canes, whatever you call them, Sebastian, who's naming their, what tough school is naming their mascot Sebastian, all right? We have a bison, all right? 10 out of 10, confidence level through the roof. Not really worried at all.
Carter, your rebuttal?
Listen, Cooper had it earlier talking about the team thing. I saw Mendoza say the team goes together like chicken and rice. That is what they have against Miami. I think they are more of a team by a little bit. But to talk about talent, to talk about individual players is just outrageous. It's wrong. And it's going to come back to bite you in the ass, plain and simple, because you got first round picks all over the offensive and defensive line. What other teams have you played that have a team like that? Because the game, we know the game starts with the trenches, right, Cooper? What other team have you played that has that kind of talent on the line?
I mean, both of us, you know, we beat OSU, both of us, so we'll give a pat on our back. I think it's when you play a fifth-seeded Oregon and you beat them on the road, and then you go and it's practically a home game inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, just a sea of crimson and white, maybe a speck of green. That's what makes us so special. I mean, two Oregon wins, an Ohio State win, Alabama, you know, kind of shite. Not going to talk that much or brag about that win, but it's just what we do. I mean, 56-20, a 34-point win. That is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. We're going to start off hot. We're going to finish hot. You know, D'Angelo Pons, as I just mentioned, one of the best players in all of college football, one of the best defensive players on our team, because we have multiples just like him. That's why we are so good. You know, starting that game off with a pick six, I think we're going to do the same to a rattled Carson Beck. And, you know, from start to finish, it's just going to be stomping on their necks.
Here's what Miami has that makes them different. Last game against Ole Miss, they controlled the clock for 3/4 of the game. We know that Dante Moore gave you 3 touchdowns early on last week. That was good. You guys took him and ran with it. You took advantage of it. But Miami has a championship style, and it reminds you of the way that SEC football teams used to win national championships when they won one with Kirby Smart in Georgia and the Alabama dynasty and whatnot. It starts with the offensive line. We know Miami is going to run the football well. Your boy Mark Fletcher Jr. averaging 7 yards per carry in the playoffs. We know Miami is going to take care of the football. Carson Beck, 2 interceptions since November 1st. I know you love that stand. Didn't expect that one. It's okay. You'll be able to handle it when you see it at Hard Rock. But anyway, we're going to close things out with the defense. This defense is moving differently. They attack the ball, the team, the way this thing is going, a home national championship. Cooper has enough evidence, enough feeling to feel good about this. I'm happy for him. He should feel good about it. But you know what? To pronounce the game is over, take the 8 points if you can. This is going to be a close one. This is going to be a fun one, and I'm excited.
All right. Love you guys. That was very good stuff. And I'm rooting for both of you guys. Obviously, I know only one team can win. I hope it's a great national championship game. I think most of our listeners are hoping the same. The two best teams in football will meet on Monday night at 7:30 on ESPN. Best of luck to you both.
And for the Hoosiers!
We'll check back in with you once this game concludes. All right. That's Carter Lutz from the University of Miami and Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University. Their preview of the college football national championship. But before Indiana and Miami take the field down in Miami, Florida, we do have a full slate of NFL playoffs coming up this weekend to determine who will meet in the AFC and NFC championships. Four games on tap in the divisional rounds. And here with the preview is our good friend of the show and aspiring sports broadcaster from Wayne State University, Gabe Loper.
No more Super Wild Card weekend, but boy, was it an NFL playoff record 12 fourth quarter lead changes. This one weekend alone beats every other playoff that happened in terms of fourth quarter lead changes combined. It's quite incredible. We had a slate of amazing games during wild card weekend. 4 days of just absolutely incredible football being played. The best of the best competing for the final spot in the divisional round, trying to get one step closer to Super Bowl. We'll start with Panthers and Rams, a barn burner. Panthers came in house money, nothing to lose. Rams came in MVP candidate quarterback, one of the best offensive minds in the game currently, if not the best, in Sean McVay. Absolutely everything on the line. Obviously didn't win the division because of the loss to Seattle. Going on the road, Carolina, kind of a good draw for them, especially for being a team that didn't win the division. But coming in, you got two teams. Very different perspectives. House money, everything to lose. Rams played lights out. They did their job. Panthers rallied. Boy, did they rally. Bryce Young, the future is finally bright in Carolina. Panthers fans are excited. Bryce Young fans are excited. They got a decent young squad. Defense has some work, but with J.C. Horn and that cornerback crew, they put on a show. Rams came out 10.5-point favorites. Didn't cover. But in the playoffs, the biggest thing is getting the dub. They move on to the division round and playing Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, Ben Johnson reminds the NFC North and the entire league as to why he was such a hot head coaching candidate coming out of Detroit. This man's offensive mind is up there with the Sean McVays and with the Shanahans, turning Caleb Williams into what looked seemed to be a blunder in just his rookie season last year into a top 15, top half quarterback this year. They got hot towards the end of the season. And they're showing it now. Down 21-3 early. Packers, the injuries, they started to glare a little bit as the half went on. Al Michaels shaking off the rust with an incredible, incredible call at the end of the game. Absolute cinema. Great call on prime. Bears move on. Hatred renewed in that division. Packers, Bears, we saw the handshake. We saw what was kind of left of it. But the Bears, again, moving on. Packers going home. Matt LaFleur seems to have negotiated his way to a contract extension. More news coming up on that later. Bills survive and advance in the fourth quarter. Explosion of points in Jacksonville. Jacksonville came oh so close. Trevor Lawrence looked good throughout the entire back end of the season, but just couldn't finish, couldn't get the job done. Buffalo, this is must-win territory, really, for them going forward, and they will have another test coming up very soon. 49ers, Eagles, my 49ers. What's left of my 49ers, obviously George Kittle goes down with the Achilles injury. And after that, somehow the morale on the 49ers sideline was higher than the morale on the Eagles sideline. Eagles, Kevin Petullo, the offensive disaster class, really. Jalen Hurts struggled to throw and look at things over the middle until late game situation. A.J. Brown dropped passes. Devontae Smith dropped passes. I think Big Dom had more receptions in the second half than A.J. Brown did. Kyle Shanahan put an absolute masterclass, run the trick plays with Juwan Jennings, who's a four-star quarterback coming out of high school, ranked above Joe Burrow, above Lamar Jackson. San Francisco survives and advances to play Seattle next week, who Seattle, the last team that they played, was San Francisco in that game for the division title in week 18. Now, the Texans and Monday night's game, dominant against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. What a showing. That Texans defense is legit. We've always known that they were legit. In my opinion, I've watched Robert Saleh call a defense in San Francisco. I watched D'Amico Ryans coach a defense in San Francisco. I think D'Amico Ryans actually was the better head coach candidate coming out. The Texans obviously made the right hire. D'Amico is absolutely lighting it up in Houston. Big things coming up for them. Stroud struggled a little bit. The offense struggled a little bit. Nico Collins, we'll check what's going on with his injury. Obviously, he left the game early. Not a great sign for the Texans offense and the receiving core, but overall, getting the job done, moving on to the next round with that elite defense. That defense could take them to an AFC title game, in my opinion, for sure. We'll see if it leads to a Super Bowl appearance. Next week's games. Buffalo at Denver. Denver, a lot of people were calling their schedule fraudulent. Calling Bo Nix not exactly being the quarterback that his record may have showed. Jury's still out. And again, in the playoffs, it's not about the regular season. It's about winning the games that you have in front of it. It's about elite quarterback play that sets you above, changes the game, and gets you to the next round. So my pick for that game, give me Buffalo in a close one. I think Buffalo's defense isn't great, but will be good enough. And I think Josh Allen will do what Josh Allen needs to do to get back to that AFC title game. San Francisco at Seattle. My bias might speak a little bit here, but Seattle, great team, great defense. But it's really, really, really hard to beat the same team twice, especially when you played them 2 weeks ago. Now, back to the rest. Seattle is very much advantage in the rest department. They've been at home since flying back from San Francisco week 18. They've been home. San Francisco, obviously the most banged up team in the league. Starting linebackers were not even on the team a month ago. Very interesting situation, but this team is used to facing adversity. They're used to playing the Seahawks. They played them twice already. First game of the season, last game of the season again. Now this upcoming weekend on Saturday night, it'll be a good one. I'm very excited. Obviously, top defense, top offense, despite the missing injuries. It's going to be absolute classic. Chargers at New England. This game, compared to the others, I think a lot of people kind of felt that this one was the more slow, mellow, and wasn't as fast-paced. More of a defensive battle. Chargers defense, very good. New England's defense, really good. Has played well all season long. Jim Harbaugh and his squad tried to come in and maybe play a little bit of bully ball going into New England. And Los Angeles team, it just did not work out. Justin Herbert, absolute collapse under pressure. Not just talking about his own performance, but the offensive line, consistently under pressure. Not great pass blocking. Running backs missed their assignments. Offensive tackles missing their assignments. They've dealt with some injuries and stuff. Joe Alt has been kind of in and out all season long. But at the end of the day, Herbert, going into year seven, has two postseason touchdown passes. Juwan Jennings for the 49ers also has two postseason touchdown passes dating back to the Super Bowl in 2023-2024. Justin Herbert, I think he's a great quarterback. I think a lot of people would agree that he's a very good quarterback. And if he was on other teams, despite everybody calling him the if man, I think that he would excel. And he's been doing well on the Chargers up until this point. But 3 points in a must-win game, despite being on the road, that's disappointing, obviously. And I don't think that's sustainable. I'm not going to say that there's going to be changes that are coming up in Los Angeles for the Chargers. I think they're still in really good shape. The wide receiver core could use some upgrades in the offseason going forward. But overall, 3 points. Not good enough. Jim Harbaugh, not good enough. The offensive line, not good enough. The defense was good enough, but anytime you have drives that continue just to wear out for the offense, it's bound for the defense to get tired. Drake May, the offense, took over late. 16-3 was your final from New England. If New England can continue to play like that and win, it'll be great for them. I think that's kind of a style of football that they want to play. They're not really much of a shootout style of team. We've kind of seen that throughout the season. Again, whether or not that's sustainable, we'll see. But if they keep winning like that in the playoffs, that's all that matters. Throw everything else out the window. As long as you're winning, that is all that matters. For the Chargers, obviously going back home to Los Angeles with a lot to go over again. So we'll see what happens there. But again, I think the Texans defense can be good enough. We'll check the condition of Nico Collins. Give me the Texans. I think their defense wins this game on the road. Defense travels no matter the temperature, no matter what. Plus, they just played in Pittsburgh, which is obviously very different. But hostile environment, this team is used to it. D'Amico Ryans will have this team up and ready to go. If the offense shows out, New England's going to need a lot more than 16 points to win this game. And I don't know if they can exactly do that against this Texans defense. Los Angeles at Chicago. I think this is going to be the best game of the weekend. This game is Sunday night. Chicago is juiced, ready to host a second playoff game in this postseason. MVP candidate Matthew Stafford going against one of the new best offensive minds in Ben Johnson on the other side. Defenses in this game, I think, will be optional. I think Chicago's defense has played decently well since that barn burner that we saw in San Francisco in week 17. I think Los Angeles defense has fallen off a little bit since the halfway point of the season where they're playing lights out defense and they're just playing lights out football on both ends of the ball. Will be interesting to see. I'm expecting a high scoring game, but at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford is an MVP candidate for a reason. The Chicago Bears team is young, but the experience, the playoff experience, is something that Matthew Stafford has grown in since being in Los Angeles. Obviously did not get much of it in Detroit. And I see Los Angeles winning in a close one. Those are my picks. Playoff football, nothing like it. I'm Gabe Lover from sportscaster.com. This is NFL playoff football preview and a little rewind. Thank you.
And thank you, Gabe. Thorough analysis, Gabe from Wayne State University with our NFL playoff preview. Want to let you know the divisional rounds this weekend. The 4:30 game on CBS is going to be on Saturday. That's Buffalo at Denver in the AFC, followed by the 49ers and Seahawks Saturday night at 8 o'clock on Fox. On Sunday, it's the Texans and Patriots who get things started at 3 o'clock in the AFC on ABC and ESPN. And that'll be followed by the Rams at Bears, 6:30 for the NFC matchup. That can be seen on NBC and Peacock. So thanks again to Gabe Loper for previewing all our NFL matchups, and to Cooper Schoenberg and Carter Lutz, whose Indiana Hoosiers and Miami Hurricanes will be facing off in the College Football National Championship on Monday night. Of course, that game can be seen at 7:30 on ESPN. So a lot of football to look forward to. We hope you enjoyed the show. And as always, a reminder, you can catch Sportscaster's Open Mic right here on WJR every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, where the sports broadcasters of the future have a voice today. I'm your host, Johnny Kane. Until next time, Godspeed.